Lord. Y'all don't know how glad I am to see you. Amen. I feel like I come home to my family and time to cut the turkey and get the stuffing out and let's have a good time. Amen. Stretch out. You know, just really stretch. Take a deep breath. And a little more. Stretch out a little more. Take another deep breath. Because I want you to feel good. Ah, praise God. Now shake hands with somebody next to you and give them a big smile. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I may play basketball tonight, sure. Praise God. All right, you can be seated. And I have something I want to present to you in the near future concerning music and worship and the history of music and intermingle it a little bit with the Word of God. I've had an awareness for many years in my experience in music and my experience in the ministry of a lot of parallels, and I hope I can bring it together. I was attempting to when I fell and hurt myself, and I got busy sitting in a wheelchair using crutches and didn't have time to do all I wanted to do. I was just too busy. Anyway, I'm going to... Don't feel sorry for me. Actually, it's been a good month. You know, and every month I get to relax as much as I did this month. Praise God. But I want to look at some things, and I haven't been preaching much because I did lose my voice, and that was a blessing to a lot of people. Amen. I don't know how many people I've been a blessing to this past month. Praise God. So I jotted down a few notes here, mainly because I just didn't want to forget some nice things that I have, and I wrote some scriptures down, so I won't have to look them all up and spend a lot of time thumbing through the pages of the Bible. And I want to say a few things, and we'll try to get out here real soon. Amen. Unless God just moves on you in such a way that you have one of those old-time Holy Ghost services where nobody wants to go home. Amen. That'd be all right too, wouldn't it? But I was looking in the book of Genesis. I think I'll just turn to the book of Genesis. We'll try to start in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. And I'll try not to read the whole Bible to the end. But in Genesis, the first chapter, words that we're all very familiar with. And I'm glad to see Brother Mike, Sister Jennifer, and the family here tonight. And I know a lot of the other folks would like to be here. Some, I think, had planned to come, but I guess they couldn't make it. But we're here. Amen. And I'm just going to pretend that every seat is packed with people tonight. But the ones that are going to hear what I have to say are here right now, so maybe God has something special for you. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, everybody say, and God said. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And if I have a thought tonight that I'd like to bring forth, it'll be, let there be light. And there was light. Would you repeat that? Let there be light. And there was light. I said again, let there be light. And there was light. Has to be, because God said, let there be light. And when God says, let there be anything, Nothing can prevent it from happening. God speaks, and it happens, no matter what the circumstances. Nothing can stop God. Praise God. I know this is really deep right now. But you know what? Sometimes when we keep things really simple, people pick it up and hear things like they haven't heard before. It's so easy for us preachers to think that everybody knows what we're talking about. And it's easy for us to preach and try to come up with something new. And I'm not criticizing. I love preachers. I love preaching. You know, I love good preaching. I love deep preaching. But it's easy sometimes for us to be preaching and being used of God to touch a lot of people in the depths of the Word of God. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And who is to judge what is deep and what is shallow? Amen? Sometimes keeping it really simple can cause it to go very deep. Because our Lord is a good example. When He taught, look at those flowers, how they grow. You know, He taught about the birds. He taught about the fields. And He taught lessons in ways that people could understand Him. Now, I'm not going to be shouting into the microphone tonight. I'm still recovering from a very bad case of laryngitis. And I feel good. I won't be running around too much. I'm still recovering from a broken foot. But I feel good. But you know what? The word that I have to speak right now doesn't require a good foot or a real loud voice. But it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. And God said, say it again, and God said, let that soak down real deep because we're talking about something that God said. And God said, let there be light. And the next words, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. There's a lot about light and day in the Word of God. There's a lot about night and darkness in the Word of God. I have some other scriptures I want to read, and I have these scriptures written out here in front of me, so I will quickly read some of them, and then I have some things I want to say. 1 John 1 and 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And the seventh verse says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Hallelujah. I have some more verses I would like to read. A lot of verses doesn't mean I'm going to talk a long time. I just have some things to say here that are very simple. But I want to also look at 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Everybody say, I'm not in darkness. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Hallelujah. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. My associate minister there in the church at Norwich, I heard him say just this week, he's not going to come for me as a thief in the night, because I'm expecting him in the day, and I'm walking in the light. And there was a lot in what he said. I thought about that, you know. But he is coming as a thief in the night. But we are not in darkness, that that day should overtake us as a thief. You are the children of light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. Everybody say, I am not of the night, nor of darkness. Praise God. That's something to be really happy about. Because we once walked in the darkness. We once found all of our direction in the darkness, which was no direction at all, because you can't really know where you're going when there is no light. Any light that we think we have is false light. Verse 6, Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a little bit more. Amen. I love the Word of God. I could just read the Word of God. You know, some people might say, well, I could go home and read it for myself. But wait just a minute. We're in a setting here. We're in church. We're in God's order. You have a preacher at the pulpit. Amen. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, you name it. We've got something going good. We've been having singing. Tonight, I believe we've heard singing that the angels would like to be able to sing like we've been singing tonight. And I might talk about that just a little bit later, or at least when I get to the seminar part. I'm going to be talking about songs that angels can't sing and harmonies. Oh, I can't wait to get there, but I'm not going to go there tonight too much. Praise God. And where harmony comes from and what harmony is all about, what discord's all about. And I was almost prepared, but it is so good. I want you all to tell everybody to come, because I have a music lesson for you that will blow your socks off. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I broke my foot, probably because I'm trying to chew me up here, keep me from doing this. I was talking to a lady this week. I got involved in a business venture because we still have to pay our bills. And so I just, you know, used this whole month while I was sitting around just to make money. And slowed down enough to be able to use the telephone, because at heart I'm a salesman and used to do that a lot of years ago. And then I got into a program that doesn't require any salesman. I'm having to learn to keep my mouth shut and say very little and let somebody else do it all. That's difficult. But it became easier when I lost my voice. And but I got this program. I've been meeting a lot of people all over the country on the telephone. And this lady out in California said, you know, and she calls me Wren. You know, Wren, I think I've met you before. And I said, well, I can't remember when it might have been. Where do you suppose it was? She says, well, it wasn't in this lifetime, but it was in one of our other lifetimes. And I thought, you know, I'll just listen to what this lady has to say, because I wonder where she's coming from. I found out that she's part of a large organization. I didn't realize there's so many of these people out there, these, can I call them wackos? But but I started, you know, after I listened to her talk a while, I was sitting on my computer, and, you know, in the day that we live in, you can, as people are talking to you, you can just kind of hit the search engine, put words down, and see where they're coming from while they talk. And I discovered a bunch of people like her as I was listening to her talk on the telephone. And she was saying the word energy a lot, and talking about energies. And some of you probably already know where all this is going. But she talked about the divine me. The divine inside of me, but she didn't say inside of me. She said, that me that's divine. And I discovered, I guess I've known it a long time, but I discovered again, there are a lot of people that think that they are God. That they can speak the light into existence. And they are connected. They are connected to everything in creation. All that God is, I heard coming from her lips, I'm part of that. And other things I heard is, there is no absolute, there is no right, there is no wrong. Now, you know, we got to have something that's stable, that we can stand on, because you listen to all this stuff, and it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. Supposedly, I met this person in another lifetime. And we don't know for sure what we were. But while I was listening to her talk on the telephone, I discovered some other people that were giving testimonies on the internet like she was speaking. And I discovered this couple that claimed to be Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. And they have a bunch of followers. And the reason they say they have so many followers is because that's who they are. In the other life, this is Jesus, who has now come back in the form of a woman. And Mary is the man. Mary Magdalene is the man, and they're shacking up. That's what I call it. They're living together unmarried. But it's all right, because there are no evils. You know, nothing. In other words, they're saying things like, whatever you believe is the divine you making an expression, and what energy that can bring forth. Y'all don't want too much of that tonight, do you? There's a lot of darkness on the face of the deep. You can discover a whole lot of darkness. But you don't have to go to some crazy bunch of nuts like that to find darkness.
That's right. Come on, preacher.
It has creeped in to our families, to our churches. If we're not careful, we will come to accept the darkness as to be inevitable, something that we have to go along with. But what I read a few minutes ago is God divided the light from the darkness. Hallelujah. There is no way to mix light and darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. And the darkness is night and the light is day. Now I'll go on here because I could get hung up. There were a lot of conversations that took place. 2 Peter 3, 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which, to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord, and knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, everybody say one day, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. And I've been looking at this for several years because I've heard a lot of teachings about a thousand years. A lot of teachings about a thousand. In fact, I've seen preachers get calculators out and figure out when Jesus is coming. I'm not going to do that for you tonight, but I've seen people actually get their calculator out and thumb through the Bible and write this down and write that down and figure out, you know, this period of time and that period of time and according to this time clock and a thousand years being as a day, and then see how old Methuselah was, see how old Adam was, see how long all these people lived, bring it down to Jesus Christ, which you can find all this in the Bible, the lineage of Christ, and you can get all this all mapped out. Amen. I've actually seen them sit up late at night with notepads, figuring out, according to the thousand years, exactly when it's going to be. And for a while, it was going to be somewhere around Y2K. It's going to be Y2K, you know, everything's going to come to a halt, all the computers are going to crash, people are going to be having wrecks, planes are going to fall out of the sky, everybody's running to grab groceries and hide in basements to see what's going to happen. Y2K is coming. Because a lot of people have this all figured out because they're carnal. they're blinded by darkness. And when you're blind, when you're completely, totally blind, if you've ever been able to see light before, if you've ever been able to see and know your way, and then you're completely, totally blind, it's difficult to know what to do with that because there's so many adjustments. You have to learn a lot of new things. And some people, after they've walked with God in light for a while, they have become blind to the Word of God. I don't understand it. Somebody asked me this week, how can anybody, you know, have the Holy Ghost and then just leave and go off after some false doctrine? Well, I don't know if they had the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost has got a hold of me, doesn't lead me into false doctrines. I'm not anybody's judge, and I'm not the one that's going to sort all that out. I'm glad I'm not the judge. I understand we've got a judge among us, but I'm glad I'm not a judge of this. Amen. Because I don't know how to judge. Yeah, I can look at all you and try to figure out, do you really have the Holy Ghost? Are you really what you appear to be? And I could probably, if I search really good, and go one by one to each individual, and listen to you talk and ask you a bunch of questions, I might find something that I don't exactly think is right in somebody's life. That may not be the case, but anytime you get a few people together, you're going to have one among them. It's about a ratio, I think. 1 out of 12. I mean, if we do better than that, we're doing better than Jesus did. One of us is going to be a devil. And if we allow ourselves, we'll sit around and say, we won't say, is it I? We'll say, is it you? We don't dare say, is it I? I wonder if it's that one. And it's probably that one over there. And some may think, I think it's one of my children. But we don't want to spend a lot of time trying to figure out who is a devil among us. I think most of them have already left anyhow. Look at all these empty spots on our pews. That doesn't mean that everybody that leaves this place to go somewhere else is a devil, but there were probably more devils 10 years ago attending this place than there are now. At least I hope so. I would hope that you didn't, you know, come to this point with a lot of empty seats because all the good ones left and we got the devils. Don't you hope that? Wouldn't you like to rather believe that you're in the light side of things? And if there is a separation going on, it's God that's doing it.
That's right. Amen.
And there are ways that you can know and you can gauge this for yourself without setting yourself up as a judge, without becoming judgmental of others. All you got to do is take another look at the Word of God. God said, let there be light. And no matter what you find yourself doing, make sure that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, that it is also said of your life, and there was light. Hallelujah. Because God said, let there be light. That means nothing can stop it from happening. Hallelujah. Let there be light. And God's word is true. And there was light. You see, in the beginning when God said, let there be light, and there was light, there was no mind body there to make a decision otherwise. The sun didn't say, I refuse to shine. The moon didn't say, I want to change churches. The stars didn't become rebellious and decide they didn't want to shine tonight because they're too tired. The galaxies didn't go to bed because they worked too hard and knew that something's going on down there at the church, but next week I'll try to make up for it. And the Milky Way didn't refuse to pay tithes. Hallelujah.
Come on, preacher.
There was nobody to make a choice. And God could have set it up forever to be that way. Nobody shall ever be able to make a choice. But no matter what may be happening amongst us and in our world today with people, amen, when God says, let there be light, it is good. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Praise God. In him there is light, no darkness at all, no variableness, no shadow of turning. Amen. Praise God. Let there be light. So what am I going to do? I can't make a decision. I'm trying to find God's will and what I'm facing. I don't know which way to turn. Let there be light. Walk in the light while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can walk. Walk in the light while you know where you're going and where you are. When you drive your automobile in the daytime, amen, you can see your way. But there comes a time that the shadows start falling. But you know, if your car is anywhere near as it should be, that there's a little switch that you can just simply turn or pull, whichever the case may be, and let some light shine. Praise God. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort, but if you don't do it and you just keep driving, some terrible things can happen. Amen. Now, the reason why the headlights are on the cars, because when it is dark, the way to find your direction is for there to be light that can pierce through the darkness. There are reasons why you have a little dome light in your automobile. When it is dark and you may get off track a little bit, you need some light. Amen. I'm not talking about the natural creations of God right now. I'm just talking about what man has done that in a way, in so many ways, is parallel to all that God is doing, but in a lesser way, but yet it's necessary. We need light in our everyday living. Sometimes we find ourselves, when we take a trip, sitting on the side of the road with a road map in our hand, looking around to see where we are. And that little light is shining, because without that light, we can't see the road map. And we put our glasses on to see better sometimes, and we hold it up close to the light. And we trace those little figures and colors and spiderweb-looking markings. And we look at the signs. We look at the signs and we look around to see if there's anything familiar. And after a while, as we keep looking at the map with the light shining, we make sure we keep our lights on so others can see us. We don't want anybody to hurt us while we're trying to find our way. So we make sure we're as safe as we can be and as far off to the side of the traffic as we can get. But we want to find out, where am I? Where am I right now? Because I dare not keep going not knowing where I am or if I'm going in the right direction. Listen, if you find yourself not knowing if you're going in the right direction, don't go anywhere, don't do anything, don't move until you have waited on the Lord. Until you let the light shine that will always shine. In Jesus Christ, there is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. So let him shine. Call on his name and find yourself depending on him till you know your direction. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as of eagles. You mount upon the eagle's wings, you get a little bit farther away from the shadows. Praise God. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That same scripture goes on and it says that there'll be some who will just utterly fall. Just utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You may trip yourself, but it's better to trip when you're walking in the day than it is to trip when you're walking in the night. You may fall down, but it's better to fall down when you're walking in the light than it is when you're walking in the darkness. Because at least in the light, if you mess yourself up, you can see where you are. You can see what's around you. You can know where to grab hold. But in the darkness, you grope and you wonder, where am I? Which way do I turn? What do I do? I can't see my way. I can't find my way. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hey, something in the Word of God says His mercies are new every morning. Praise God. Don't let Satan put a guilt trip on you over what happened yesterday. Amen. I don't think the devil's always coming up to everybody and saying, let me tell you what you did wrong. He usually comes in some neighbor, some family member, some church acquaintance, somebody that doesn't agree with, well, they don't want you to know exactly how they feel, so they just want to tell you something in confidence. This is just between me and you. I promise you won't breathe a word, but our pastor, oh my. I've had people tell me things about other preachers through the years. And but they won't tell me what it is they're trying to say. It's thing. I had one man walk up to me with a briefcase in his hand once. He said, he pulled out a little tape, a cassette tape. I have the goods on that brother right here. It's all in this little tape. If you knew what I know. Now, I don't want him to know I've got this tape. But if he ever crosses my path in just the wrong way, I'm going to pull this tape out. I don't want to live like that, do you? And you know what? Ever since that man did that to me 20 years ago, the person he was talking about, that he didn't tell me anything, and I didn't want to know in the first place, but he didn't tell me anything he did wrong. All he did was put that little shade, that little shadow before me. Here I am trying to do the will of God, walk in the light, and here's a man who wants to spread a little ill will against a brother. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that's a sin. I believe that's a sin. To tell you something and not tell you what he's telling you about another person. Oh, if you knew what's on this tape. You know what? Automatically, my mind went all kinds of places. He's a bank robber. He killed somebody. You know, since he took it that far, I would rather 20 years ago the man had told me what the fellow did so I could forgive him of it. But I spent 20 years trying to figure out what he did. I don't have to try to figure it out. I just meet him and I wonder, what could he have done that I don't know? He gets up and preaches at a conference, and immediately my mind flashes back to that shadow. I don't have any reason to be against that man. But somebody put a shadow in my pathway. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves following off after the shadows. And one way we can make sure we're walking in the light and staying in the day with Jesus is when you see the shadows getting longer, you're going the wrong direction. Praise God, it's time to turn around and let the light shine right in your face. Amen. Put the shadows behind you. Hallelujah. I hope I'm making sense tonight. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Amen. I'm going to a city where the Lamb is the light. Has no need of the sun, for the Lamb is the light of that city. Praise God. But I'm not just going to a city where the Lamb is the light. While I'm on my way, Jesus is my day. Right here, right now, I can call on my Jesus. And he is the light that lights our pathway. Amen. Jesus is the King of Kings right now. Jesus is the Lord of Lords right now. And I talk about this sometimes and I get branded as a Kingdom Now preacher. Whatever that means. Because evidently there's a movement of preachers or some religions out there that I don't even know anything about them. But I talk about things I've talked about all my life that's in the Word of God. And I don't care what kind of brand they put on groups out there that may not agree with one another. When I say something about Jesus being here right now, I did not get that from some group over there. I got that from the Word of God. And I'm not going to change my viewpoints of the truth when I'm seeing this in the light of God's holy Word that Jesus is here right now. We're sitting together and made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. I know the Word teaches us we shall rule and reign with Him. Have you ever sat around and wondered what it is you're going to rule over? Well, we're not at that point up there someday yet. But I'll tell you where we are right now. We're in a position where we can exercise our authority as kings and priests. And it can always start with you.
Take charge of your life and make yourself look again at the Word of God. Make yourself be aware. I don't have to think these thoughts I've been thinking. You think a thought and it's like a penny, you know. You take a penny and then you multiply it every day. 2 the next day, 4 the next day, and then 8 the next day, and then 16 the next day. You ever done that? Try to figure out how much you get if you could double your penny every day for a month? It turns out to be millions of dollars. Figure it out sometime. Just see what I'm talking about. Well, your mind is like that. When we start thinking negative thoughts, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of fear, thoughts of guilt and shame, and thoughts of, I wonder if, it's like one thought goes out and gets another thought, and those two thoughts go out and get two more, and we have 4, then we have 8. Next thing you have is a whole general conference of singers singing in the choir. You can't make it. You're a loser. Remember the good old days? How good it was when you walked so close to the Lord. But now, it's not like it used to be. You know too much, you know too much, you know too much about them. God. The church is not what it ought to be. Oh, the choir is growing. Now our church is too small because we've got more thoughts than we've ever had people. The preacher not doing right. And I wish it was like it was before. So I'll stay home tonight. Because it's always the same. I used to think we were on the right side, but now I have my doubts. Because God's people should be able to have a lot of people. And then the choir director turns around and he says, I'm going to take the lead tonight. And the choir says, yes, yes, yes. And the next thing you know, you're being driven by your thoughts. And it doesn't matter what the preacher says, you don't hear it. Because you got a big song going right now. It's a song in the night. The choir's up there singing, trying to sing your hearts out, but you got another song going on. I remember when we had more in the choir, and I sang with them then, but I don't sing today. And as long as that one's in the choir, I will sing again. (Clears throat)
And I used to jump up and shout and clap my hands when certain people would sing, but now I found out some things, and I'm not going to clap my hands when they sing. Mama, 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 mama. And all these thoughts are going on, all these songs are going on, all these crazy things are going on. And somebody's up here saying, I just thank God he's been so good to me today. I just feel like traveling on. I just want to go all the way with him. And after church, somebody says, wasn't that a wonderful service? And you're too busy. You got something going on. You can't even hear him talking. Wasn't it great? I was so blessed tonight. God is so good. Oh, what preaching. Oh, what singing. Those testimonies inspired my soul. And you're standing there looking at your watch, wishing to shut up because you're trying to hear the next stanza. Hallelujah. Amen. Right now, this is the best time of our life. This is the time to let the Lamb of God shine. Let him shine. My Lord, is it 10 o'clock already? I hear a choir starting to sing. Hallelujah. In this world you have tribulations. Somebody asks, so what do you believe about the tribulation? And we could really get into it tonight. We want to talk about that, couldn't we? When is the tribulation period? The choir on one side, the side over here says, pre. Over here you hear mid. We got pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you what I believe about the tribulation. I'm pen-trib. Pen-trib. It's all going to pan out. Hallelujah. But if somebody were across our philosophy and our theology and how we've always believed about these things, oh, let's talk about wine and grape juice. You don't want me to go there, do you? Then you got this side over here saying, those winos. And the other side says, you juicers. And everybody's judging one another. And others are saying, keep it spiritual. We don't want to go there either. Because we start getting off into these debates, amen, darkness comes in like a flood. The enemy comes in like a flood. Praise God. We can get carried away in a flood. We can get carried away in some attitude because, you know, it's been like that a long time. When Jesus would speak sometimes, the Sadducees would say, right, yes, yeah, this man said it right. But the next sentence, oh, they would get back and say, oh, no. Then the Pharisees say, right on. Here comes the Pharisees. You got it right. You got it. Now, he's talking our language now. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves sitting in a pew somewhere, hearing somebody say something that's not exactly like we think it should be. Maybe, I don't know if you've visited around that much, but I have. I have preached revivals. I preached revivals for several years, every night, except on our rest nights. But a lot of times they would take me to a visiting church, and they'd have me to preach then. So I was an evangelist for several years, and every night I was somewhere across the land preaching my heart out. But in traveling around and being in these churches all over the country, I found that not everybody believes just alike. I went to, right after I got married, not long after I was married, had this really nice wedding band on my finger. And I went to preach a revival, and the pastor met me at the door, and he said, what are you going to do about that ring? What ring? I didn't know I had a ring on. That ring. We don't believe in rings here. And I had the hardest time getting that thing off. It got hung. I squeezed it and I pulled it and my finger started swelling up. And I said, I'm trying to get it off. So I needed that offering that night. I'm just kidding about that. Amen. I couldn't wait to get close to the olive oil so I could put a little of that on there and just kind of, you know, squeeze it. finally got that thing off, put it in my pocket. And he said, "Why did you take it off?" I said, "Well, I want to please you. Do you have any convictions?" I said, "Yes." You know, I was starting to wish I could just get out of there. We don't believe in rings. Well, you know, it didn't make any difference what they believed in right then. I just wanted to go home. But I had 2 whole weeks to stay. And it started out like this. We don't believe in rings. And you know what? I lost that thing. I never did see it again. I must have had a hole in my pocket because I never did see that wedding band again after that. And that was years ago. But I noticed when I got up to sing that night, the organist had a great big finger ring on her finger. And the piano player had nothing. The organist had this kind of painted up look, like, you know, Tammy Faye Baker look. You heard about Tammy Faye. They took all the makeup off of her and found James Hoffa. Somebody told me that. I don't guess it's true. But anyway, this organist was sitting there with all this stuff, you know. And I am sitting there, what did that preacher do that to me? And here's the piano player over there. She's a real plain Jane, has a real long uncut hair, collar up to her ears almost, and dressed down to her toenails, and a hat. And I'm talking, man, she is super, super holy. And I got to have to preach, and I noticed there were certain things in my message I'd get an amen on this side. And I noticed on this side all the women had cut hair, rouge and makeup and all kinds of things, you know, that just made them look pretty. And on this side everybody looked like yesterday's dishwashing. But every once in a while, I'd preach certain things. This time, I'd holler, "Hallelujah!" I'm talking 400 people in the building, 400 or more. And this time, I'd shout, "Hallelujah!" Then I'd come across something else, and they would just hush. And this time, I'd come to their feet. I remember one thing I said that night, one of those nights, was, "You know, I believe everybody needs to kick television out of their house," and that whole side went wild. Man, they jumped and they shouted and said, "Well, come on, come on, come on." And I don't remember what I said to make that side go wild, but I tried not to say too much. But I don't want to live like that. Because God divided the light from the darkness a long time ago. And he talks about unity and fellowship and forgiveness. I don't want to stay on that subject. I don't remember what all ever happened. But I know that I was glad when they said unto me, "Let's get out of this place." Hallelujah. I got to finish up here. Division brings darkness. Hallelujah. I'm just going to skim through here real fast. The physical is an illustration of the spiritual. Our friends and neighbors are blind. They can't comprehend what we're all about. We need to take the light to them. And remember, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Amen. Always try to walk away from your conversations with everybody you come in contact with, able to say, "And there was light." Because God said, "Let there be light." For them, you're the only light that they're going to see. You know, when you're in the darkness, you don't comprehend light. The darkness comprehended the light, didn't comprehend the light. So when you're in the darkness, anything, even though you don't comprehend it, you may criticize it, you may call it names and everything, but anything that is light is going to draw you, even if you don't want it to be known. Because when you're lost, your soul is longing to be found. Praise God. And so let us, when we're about our jobs or in schools or wherever we find ourselves, be able to say after we do the things we do that involve others, not only realizing that God said, "Let there be light," but let us walk away from that place saying, and there was light. Because you're not the moon, you're not the stars, you're not the sun. You're the one that can either turn the switch on or leave it off. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're the one that can stop long enough to get out the road map and try to help somebody find the way, because they're all lost. Everybody's sitting in the darkness saying, which way do I go from here? Help me find my way. You may not know they're saying that, but Jesus has said, the Word has said that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That means everybody has a drawing toward Jesus. Everybody. Everybody say everybody. And remember that all things work together for the good for those that are the called, that love God and are the called. Amen. And I'm persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let me just get rid of a bunch of this and get on down here to the end. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. New converts have a challenge. Parents have gone through years of disappointment, the child not doing right, and so always in trouble, coming home drunk, hanging out with bad crowds, doing bad things. Finally, somebody out there lets some light shine, and the young man or the young lady sees hope and finds their way to a church, something like this, and receives the power that makes the light shine forth in the individual. Hallelujah. And right at that moment, you know, you've been there, when you receive this great Spirit of God inside of you, you want to tell everybody. You want to tell everybody. You just know, oh, if they can only know what you know, and this joy that you have that the world didn't give, the world can't take it away, if they can only know, this is what everybody is looking for. And you rush home to tell mom and dad. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's always the same old story. Oh, no. You got mixed up in that. They'll run it down. They'll talk bad about it. They'll criticize. They'll do everything they can to keep you from going back to that. But when you get it in you, you can't help but let it shine. Hallelujah. You haven't turned against your mom and dad. You've just been delivered. And they're still out there in the darkness. Praise God. So it takes a while sometimes to win any of them, because they remember you how you were in the darkness. They remember you as a drunk and as a lousy bum. But now they wish you'd come back to that rather than get mixed up in that thing over there that they don't comprehend. A lot of people prefer you be the monster you used to be instead of what you're doing right here. Oh, no. You're going to church. Hallelujah. Parents go nuts when their kids get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And they don't drink anymore, don't smoke anymore, don't cuss anymore, don't run with a bad crowd anymore. It's what the parents always wanted, but not like this. Find it a different way. Take pills, tranquilizers, anything to settle you down. Don't go to church. Hallelujah. So we find many people being the only one in their family serving God. And every time they're at home with the family or with relatives, amen, they're walking, it seems, to the valley of the shadow of death. Everywhere they turn, there's nothing but shadow, nothing but darkness, nothing but negativism. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Stand and praise him tonight, will you? Let there be light. Hallelujah. Let there be light. Let there be light. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. If you find yourself not having fellowship with somebody, make sure you're walking in the light as He is in the light, and the problem will be their problem. You can't make it happen for them. You can let your light shine, but if they're going to hinder you, get out of there. Mark them that cause divisions among you, because you've already been separated from the darkness. Mark them and avoid them. Don't keep company with them too long if they're on the wrong side, if they're walking in the darkness and they want to pull you into something else. Listen, we're on the winning side. The light is shining upon God's children. Let the light shine. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And we have fellowship. Anybody that can't fellowship you can't fellowship Jesus. I hope that's the way you feel. I've got a fellowship card in my wallet. I pay dues every year for this fellowship card. Can't find it. Oh no, I'm not in the bride anymore. Better sit down. I'll be disfellowshipped. Oh my. I had a fellowship card. That's what it said right on the card. It's in an organization, Jesus' Name, Holy Ghost People. And I try not to tell very many people what I'm part of because they brand me to be like everybody else, which I'm not like everybody else. I'm a renegade. My name is Ren. How can I say? In their eyes. Sometimes. Because you can't please everybody. You can be an independent. And organization said, uh-oh. Or you can be an organization and all the other organizations say, you're not part of us. And the independents say, I would never be one of those. And then you got all these bylaws and things in the conferences and some people, you know, the carnal-minded ones are the all one, always there to vote these laws in. And so they put in something that you want to be part of a system, but there are some things that are just not according to the Word of God, but overall it's good. And so there is fellowship, and we go to our conventions and our convocations and things, and I'm not knocking any of that, but just make sure that you find your fellowship in Jesus. Not in the disgruntled crowd waiting in the lobby. As much as possible, get on the front seat. And no matter who's preaching, walk in the light as He is in the light. Fellowship will find you. Fellowship will find you. Because everybody that's in fellowship is in fellowship with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are no split-offs in the light. You can't split up God. God cannot be divided. You can't divide light from light. Hallelujah. God is a God of one day, being as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years being as one day. And He lights up His day. And the same day that I walk in is not limited to God being one day as 1,000 years. But this day was still here when there were dinosaurs on this earth. When God said, let there be light, there never ceased to be light. And that was God's day. The light He called day. You ever wonder when the day of the Lord is going to be? Hey, we're sitting in it and standing in it and walking in it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a voice saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, that which is, what is to come, the Almighty. Clap your hands to Him. Hallelujah. 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 that you also may have fellowship. That you also may have fellowship. Some people may think fellowship's not so important, but it is. That you also may have fellowship with us. So I love to be a part of this, even though I do preach too long sometimes. I love to be a part of this. Hallelujah. And these things I write, we write unto you that your joy may be full. If we walk in the light of Jesus, why we have fellowship one with another. And this is what's so important about having fellowship one with another in the light. This part. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. Cleanseth. Not once upon a time it cleansed, but continues. Cleanseth. As you walk in the light, as He is in the light, having fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus. Everybody say, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just call on Him and praise Him tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the message that we have heard that God is light. Hallelujah. We can have fellowship in the light of God. Outside of that, we dare not fellowship. We must stay in the light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're better off to have a few people with a lot of gifted cues than a lot of people in darkness. Choosing willfully ignorance. Praise God. That's like driving your car into the sunset and the sun goes down and you just keep on driving out in the country. There are no city lights. You're just going through the woods and a curvy road out in the darkest or cloudy sky. How foolish that would be. Praise God. When you try to serve God and you try to hold on to something that's not of God, you don't have your headlights on. But some of us have got a great light shining. And we just have to be understanding and wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Let them come, let them be amongst us, but don't become a part of them. Some people, some time ago, came into my office and said, we came to lead you into a direction. We just want you to see our side of things. And I'm not going to go into all that right now, but that's not the first time that's happened. Everywhere I have been since I've been serving God, I've always been able to find that element that says, we would like for you to see it our way. I want to stick with God's way, don't you? One more time, praising. Thank you, Jesus.